Amen. And even way back then, way back in ancient times, amen, God, he's been working from ancient times to now. God hasn't withdrawn. God has not retired. God has not pulled himself away, amen, and said, no, I can't do that any longer. God's still ready to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and we're so thankful. It's been some time ago that I was given a little booklet, and this little book is an old Bible study. I think Brother Danny Williams found this Bible study. I think it was one of your daddies, that old blue book right here. And Brother Williams gave it to me. He said, Brother Crossman, I want to give you something. And I've been going through it because what I'm trying to do is reconstruct it and make it available. And I've been doing that. And today has been a joyful day. And I'm trying to learn how to print things out in a different way, how to make little pages like this and without just copying it, but to redo it in more modern look and stuff. And, well, today I've used some things to kind of help me, and I still didn't get it all printed out right. And working with a computer and all this is a little difficult for me. But tonight, the Lord just kept on in my heart all day today. Amen. The Lord has been working on me. There is a question that often comes to me by many people that say this: what causes you and what you people to be different? What causes you to be different? And I'm going to say this: it's more than our appearance. My difference should never be because our ladies look different and our men dress different. Amen. Anybody could wear a uniform. Anybody could conform to a look. I want something more than just the way I dress, the way that I look, because there's people that think that's just that. And they have learned to look the look, but not walk the walk. Amen. Let me just say that again. There's some people that can look it, and they don't have the goods. And so many people look and say, there's something beyond that. There's more than appearance. There's something more than just good character. It's more than good character. You could have good character and still not have the work of God's Spirit in your life. I don't want to be a lighthouse that doesn't have a light working. And what good is a beautiful lighthouse in the daytime? You ever been to a lighthouse? And they're beautiful. But I guarantee you they're not as beautiful as you're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the ocean. And that light from that lighthouse shines and connects you and gives you a bearing point and saves you from the rocks and the shore. Amen. You know what I want to be? I don't want to be just a light in the daytime and a beautiful edifices. I don't want to be just a lighthouse then. But I want my light to shine in the darkest storms of life. I want to be real, and I want Jesus to be Jesus in my life. What's separating us? Is it just doctrine? Is it just doctrine? Let me say this. There are people that do obey the doctrine, and they do comply, and they check off all the lists. They repent of their sins. They get baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And they have a Holy Ghost experience. They speak with other tongues. And somehow or another, their check-off list, they get to the end. And they believe that they're okay because this has happened in their life. I want to tell you there's something that is greater and more different than just checking off the boxes and saying, I obey the doctrine. Amen. It's having God alive in your life and you have a relationship with God. Amen. Oh, friend, amen. I'm so thankful tonight that the power of God is still at work. Amen. What are you doing with the grace of God? That's what matters. Amen. The grace of God is something we don't deserve. Not one of us deserves to be here. Not one of us deserves to go to heaven. Not one of us deserves to have God living in our lives. Amen. And when you have been given the privilege to live and to have the hope inside of you that you know you don't deserve, you're going to take care of what God has given you in a different way. And it's like this. Have you ever had to walk different places because you didn't have a car? How many's ever had a walk before? How many's ever had a flat and it made you appreciate having a car? How many's ever had a breakdown, car breakdown, and it makes you appreciate having? How many's had an air conditioner go out in your car and you appreciate having AC? You see, even this is where I'm at today. I appreciate what God is doing in my life. I don't want to ever let appreciation, thanksgiving, and honor dry up. God always wants somebody that is conscious of Him and recognizes Him and thanks Him for what He's doing. Amen. He loves a thankful people. But you know what God's love language is? Is obedience. His love language is always obedience. We've read something, there's different love languages. Some people, their love language is giving. Some people's love language is just a touch. Some is, you know, different other things. Amen. It's when somebody tells them something and validates them with words. Oh, but God's love language is when we just obey Him and love Him by saying, God, I'm yours every day. Amen. God really wants you to live. Tonight in your Bible, would you turn with me to Titus, the second chapter, the book of Titus, chapter 2. We're going to talk about the grace of God and how it works and what you do with the grace of God. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 is where I want to read tonight. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And I'm thankful that salvation is not just for a certain creed, color, nationality, but I'm thankful that Jesus Christ died for all men. How many races are there on the face of the earth right now? How many races? Anybody knows? One race, the human race. And Jesus died for the human race. The scripture says right here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Every kind. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That peculiar don't mean somebody that's so picky, but it's talking about a people that is just has that special something that makes them different. But it also says zealous of good works. How many wants the things of God in operation? Amen. I don't want to be hooked up to 220 and not have 220 running through me. In other words, I don't want to be plugged into something, amen, and not having the juice flowing through me. I want to be plugged into Jesus and have Jesus on the inside. I want Jesus to work on the outside. I want Jesus to be the evidence of my life. Not me. I don't want people to look at me and see me, but I want them to see what He is doing in my life. Amen. Would you put your Bibles down, and I want you to lift both your hands, and I want you to love God back for His goodness and grace. Lord, I love You. I thank You tonight for Your goodness and Your grace today, Lord. How wonderful, how grand it is, Lord, to know that You love me, that You went to a cross for me. God, I don't deserve this, but Lord, You've blessed me, You've helped me, and You're here for me tonight, God. I thank You, Jesus, for Your grace and power. Thank You for Your loving kindness and Your tender mercies. In Jesus' name, I ask You, Lord, to bless. Amen. Somebody say amen. You may be seated. I have a PowerPoint that we're going to put up here today. Amen. The first thing we're going to talk about is Christian living. And godly and holy living should characterize the life of every Christian believer. Holy and godly living is more than just an outside deal, but an inside deal. Something inside of you, amen, that is an operation. Amen. I found this in that old book, and I made a copy of it. And I just want to share with you tonight. Amen. The scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy. I want to be like Jesus. You can't be holy without Jesus. Amen. You can't be holy without the source in you. Amen. There's some people mistakenly think holiness, amen, is an outward appearance, but holiness is an inward thing that begins to work from the inside, and it will work on your outside as well. I'm thankful that Jesus is alive and he is well inside of lives and souls. What a beautiful experience tonight. Amen. To know that Jesus would give you power to live when you let him have his way with you. Let's go to the next slide. Amen. Where the Bible begins to talk about, where the Bible has to talk about sin. Sin is when we go against God. Sin, you may can't see this, and I apologize. The scripture says sin is the transgression of the law of God. Anytime we trespass or transgress the things that God says, I don't want you to go there. And he said that's called sin. And all unrighteousness is sin according to the word of the Lord. All unrighteousness is sin. Everything that is not right, everything that you know that is wrongward, amen. Do you know that there are people that do not have a Bible that naturally know that there's things that are wrong? There's people in foreign countries that never been taught the difference between wrong and right, that naturally has a conscience that says, no, I can't do that. It is wrong for me to do this. I thank God for the conscience inside of me that governs me. But however, even it's important for us to realize that all unrighteousness is sin. And then the scripture says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? And we know that the consequences of sin in our life is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you thankful that God says, amen, you don't have to have the wages of sin, the paycheck of sin you don't have to live on. I have a gift that is greater than that called grace. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, amen, are you thankful that God is still a giver? Are you thankful that God is still one that wants you to make it when this world around you wants you to fail and the enemy of your soul wants you to fail? I've got a God that's for me. And the scripture said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Are you thankful that God is for you tonight? You know, the scripture says in 1 John 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. You've heard somebody say, the devil made me do it. The devil makes you do a lot of things. When a person is constantly crossing boundaries, their influence is of the devil. 1 John 3 and 8. Do you know tonight that if a person sins only one time a day, when he is 20 years old, he has sinned 7,300 times. When he's 30 years old, is 10,950. When he's 40 years old, 14,600 times. When he's 50 years old, it's 18,250 times he has sinned. And when he's 70 years old, he's sinned one time a day all his life. That's 25,550 times. And that's all the sins that are to face in the judgment. He's going to have to stand before God. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ says this. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. I'm glad that Jesus Christ went to the cross to take care of our sin problem. Amen. Are you grateful today that God still takes care of sin problems? Amen. The scripture says this in 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world. Everybody say, love not. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but of the world. The world will pass away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God has a forever place for you. And I just want to remind you that holiness is God's way. God has a way. The scripture said, follow holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful that God has a plan for you and I, that you don't have to go the way of sin. God has a better plan for you, a better way for you. Are you tired of being subjected to the chains and the prison cells of sin and the weights of sin? Amen. When you lay your head down at night knowing that I can't get rid of this in my mind, I'm glad that Jesus Christ died to eradicate that, and there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. So today we need to choose. And the only way to handle sin is to repent from sin, believe, and to live above that. God is looking for somebody, amen, to choose that I'm going to live for God. I want to tell you, you're going to slip, you're going to fall in life. There's things that's going to happen that causes you to mess up and all this, but I'm thankful that the Lord will help you up when you look to Him and you keep walking with God. How beautiful the help of the Lord when you learn to say no to sin and help me, Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Alviar was preaching here Sunday about the man that was laid at the pool of Bethesda, the house of mercy. That's what Bethesda meant. And the Bible says he had to be brought there and laid at that pool. Now, the reason why he went to the pool, because we heard about that Sunday, was the angel of the Lord would trouble the water. And whoever would get in the waters while it was being troubled, they would receive their healing. But this lame, impotent man could never get in the waters because he had nobody and no way to get there. Are you thankful that when you can't help yourself, you have a God that is able to help you if you want it? Amen. I had a young man that told me one time, he said, I can't help myself. Every other word that comes out of my mouth is filthy. I said, but do you want to quit? Do you want to learn to say, God, I can't help me. I need some help. Do you know it was about 2 years later after talking to this young man, he said, you remember telling me about that? He said, ever since you told me that, he said, I started realizing, you know, I can't help myself. I need help from above. And he said, I start every time I caught myself and I heard something slip out of my mouth, I started saying, help me, Jesus. And pretty soon, he said, I didn't use those words anymore. He said, even my wife looked at me and said, what happened to you? You something changed you. When a man or woman recognizes you can't help yourself, you can't make it on your own, you need the Spirit of the living God, the power of God in action. Praise God. Amen. I'm grateful for the touch of the Lord today, how God works. Amen. God's word for our life. We need the word of God to be in action in us. We love God. We need to love his word. We need to love what God stands for. And love is still something that God, a love language, because you're going to lovingly obey God. You're going to lovingly comply to God. If God says it, you're going to love his ways. There's been times that I go, man, that hurts. I don't want to do that. But after I started doing that and things started correcting in my life, amen, I found that God started blessing me. The favors of God started coming. And how beautiful it is when you start loving God. God loves you, but he wants your love to connect with his love. And prayer. Prayer is the next thing up here on that slide that I found that prayer is very important. Prayer is more than just asking God constantly, saying, God, give me, give me, give me. But God wants some talking. God wants some you to talk and thank him. And many times, it's been amazing that the deepest prayer time that I've had with God, the most significant prayer time that I've had with God, is when I got off of me and started focusing on him and started loving him and talking to him and blessing him and conversing with him, other than saying, give me, Jesus, or do, 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 or take care of this, or, oh, God, I need help. You know what the greatest thing is? When you start talking to God and have a relationship, God wants somebody that knows how to pray. Amen. The next thing is humility. The Lord loves it when we humble ourselves and say, God, I need you. Then when we submit our habits to God, 2 Corinthians 7 says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Our habits, when you got bad habits, when you speak very quickly without listening, and you know that, man, you start catching yourself and you start working on you. If you got bad habits, learn some good habits. Learn to put those habits into order. God wants you to have good habits. Good habits are, instead of being a lazy Christian, God's not looking for laziness. He's looking for somebody to put order in their life, somebody to have a relationship, amen, that more than God just taking care of. It'd be like a husband and wife. I had an uncle that when we went over to their house, he was always saying, his wife's name was Sarah and her middle name was May. Sarah May, Sarah May, give me a beer. Sarah May, bring me this, bring me that, bring me, Sarah May. You know, and she gladly brought it to him. But you know, I want a relationship tomorrow. It's going to be 37 years that since I looked at that girl in the eye and I said, I do. Tomorrow's our big day. But it's more than just me just saying, Kelly Marie or Kelly May. It's more than just saying, give me this and give me that. There ought to be a mutualness in our relationship with God. God wants a mutualness. Look at your neighbor and said, God's waiting on you. The next thing God wants is modesty. And modesty is more than just us dressing appropriately, but living appropriately. Modest, that we don't overindulge, underindulge, that we live balanced lives. When you got a big appetite and you know that appetite is overboard, I pray, Lord, help me with my appetite. Help me, Lord Jesus, that I just don't make a pig out of myself. We was with a young man the other day, and there was a group of us ministers there. And, I mean, at our table, we had two pizzas and some Pizza Hut bread. And this young man, they set pizza in front of him and a pizza in front of us. And there was one, two, three, four, five, six, I think five of us at that table, five men, grown men. And before we could even get our second piece, the young man ate all the pizza. Then he ate all the breadsticks. Not one breadstick was shared. He ate it all. And, man, he was a gobbler, wasn't he? He needed a little lesson in modesty and sharing. And then, to top it all up, before we even, you know, there was a man that sat across the table, didn't even get a second piece. And this young man is already grabbing. Somebody said, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold it, man. This man hadn't even had a second piece of pizza yet. And I'm looking, thinking, wow, this dude has a big appetite that needs to learn to pull the reins and use some manners. God wants modesty. He also wants us to be faithful to his house. Regular church attendance is matters. Do you know the Bible teaches not to forsake going to the house of God? You need the house of God. You need teaching. You need to give an account of your stewardship. You need to give account of your relationship with God. Amen. I appreciate those that just say, Pastor, I'll be out of town. Man, that makes me feel good to know where you're at. Amen. But there are those that think, well, I could be a sometimer. God don't want you to be a sometimer. God wants you to be faithful. Somebody say amen. Next thing, stewardship, witnessing. God wants his word to be your guide in your life. Let me go to the next thing real quick. The next slide is every person wants peace, joy, happiness. Everybody wants those things. They want peace of mind. They want joy. And you can't buy happiness, folks. You can't buy joy. You can't buy peace of mind. It comes when we finally comply to God Almighty. You'll never have peace like you find peace when you just get in touch with God and align yourself with God. You'll never have the joy of the Lord until you have the Lord of the joy. You'll never have happiness until the glory of God is in your life. Amen. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord, the scripture says. I'm thankful. There's a lot of people think happiness is a new car, new truck, new house. But I deal with people that have had all these different things, but their marriages is falling apart today. Some of the most wealthiest people on the face of the earth, they realize it's not there in the money. It's not there in the prestige. It's not who's the biggest and the baddest and the greatest. Amen. But it's that person that has Jesus Christ at the helm of their life. Hear me. Amen. Oh, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's a lot of people will try to give to this and try to that. But the most beautiful thing is when God has you. My question, does God have you, your life? Amen. The scripture says there's righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. What the world offers is temporary, but what God gives is everlasting. Amen. I'm thankful for the word of the Lord today. Amen. We're preparing our lives because we know that Jesus is just going to come back. The second coming of Jesus Christ is near. And this old book, Brother Williams, this old blue book, it talked about it years ago, amen, that Jesus was coming back. Amen. How many of you been around and heard that Jesus is coming back? Amen. He's coming back. I heard it all my life. Amen. He's still coming, Brother Neil. Amen. We just got to be ready for the Lord to come. And the blessing of the hope of Christians is this. My Jesus is coming. Amen. He's coming soon. There used to be songs that we used to sing in church. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the righteous will meet him. Going where? Do we still believe that? Do we still believe that? I still believe Jesus is coming soon. How do you know that Jesus is coming soon? Amen. What are the signs of his coming? That next slide, please. The signs of the coming. I wish I had a handout tonight. There's going to be wars and rumors of war. That's a sign that Jesus is coming back. Do you know that United States of America is in many wars? It's not just Iran today. It's not just Iran. We're involved in a lot of different things. There's things that are going on that would amaze you. Wars, and there's rumors of wars and things that are happening. And we're at the edge of great different things that are happening. But I want to tell somebody that's just a sign of his coming. And another sign of his coming, there's going to be false Christ. There are going to be people I listened to a man just yesterday who got up and said, you need to listen to what I say. I'm the apostle. I am this and I am that. And he started bringing his falseness there. And I go, how many people will listen to a person and don't comply with the word of God? I want you to hear me close, and I want you to hear this right, okay? This book is going to be right 9 times out of 9. You see this big bald-headed preacher? When I'm out of the book, I'm out of the book. Amen. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Hear me well. You better check me with the word of the Lord. Don't take a preacher's word for it. I need somebody to say amen. Hear me very well. Young person tonight, amen, just because they sound anointed, just because they hit every now and then, but if they get out of the book, they're out of the book. Let's talk about that real quick, okay? I had a gentleman talk to me one time, and he said, he went to a preacher that he was a type that will tell you all kind of things about you. And the man would hit. He would tell you different things. He would tell this, he said, you know, he told this lady, he said, something's been hurting right here and it moves across right here. And he told her some things and it happened. He predicted it and it happened. Let me just tell you, it also happens, people that we're called spiritualists, fortune tellers, they could see things in the spirit realm as well. We don't believe everything that begins to predict, profess. If that person's not living right with God, amen, hear me? You better know their fruit. You better know what they're bearing. You better know where their roots are at. Not everything that looks Christian, sounds Christian, is Christian. Amen. Hear me, saint of God. Amen. I'm at that place. We better check the root and we better check the fruit. Amen. Because not everything that says they are a Christ is of Christ. I don't care how much they speak with other tongues. Amen. You got to walk the walk. You got to obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there was a lady who always jabbered in another tongue. And she began to profess that she was spiritual. But it was a cover up. Amen. She was a liar. She was a cheater. She was an adulterer. She had all kind of problems in her life. And she used a smokescreen of trying to become spiritual. I want to tell you, amen, the most spiritual person is a person that says, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. God is looking for somebody that is obeying him and looking for us. We have too much to keep our hearts in order right now than for us to be swayed by things. Jesus is coming soon. Somebody say amen. The Lord said it's going to be another sign where there's going to be men that's going to be lovers of themselves, proud, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's where we're at right now. Jesus is coming back. Let me go forward. Let me go forward tonight. Amen. Not only there's signs, but there's eternal reward. Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. The hour is coming that time will be no more. Everybody say, time is running out. Time is running out. This is old-fashioned, y'all. This is stuff I heard as a kid. How many heard this stuff before? Time is running out. You better do something with your time. Amen. And the Christian believer, amen, you need to realize that you got one opportunity. And we know that if our earthly house be dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God has something for us. Amen. But friend, amen, death is something that is constant. There's things that happen. You better tend to your life. You don't, the appointment everybody has that's with death is not guaranteed. You don't know when you're going to die. And I'm not trying to scare people. This is not a fearful thing to get everybody afraid. But heaven is real. Hell is real. But we need to choose. We can't play with God. We can't play with life. You got to live for the Lord. And I got some that's already turned me off that needs to hear. You need to be in tune tonight. Tune your soul to the living God. Amen. There's eternal rewards. Amen. Hear me. The Bible says your life is as a vapor. The next slide, Sister Mahala. The Bible talks about the unbelievers and the disobedience. God is serious about sin. God is serious about sin. What is a sinner? And this is what this old blue book said. What is a sinner? A man who paints is a painter. A man who welds is a welder. And a man who sins is a sinner. And Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Remember, the wages of sin is death. Hell is hot. Eternity is long. Death is sure and life is uncertain. Hear me. Amen. Sunday morning, I walked in that bedroom. There's a 30-something-year-old young man that has passed away in his bedroom, in his sleep that night. Death and life, friend, is real. I'm telling us tonight as a church of the living God, we need to hang on to the hand of the Lord. You have no time to play. You have no time to stray. It's time for the church to be the church. So, next slide, please. Everybody say today. It's today you need to make up your mind. Decision day. We need to make our decision today. Behold, now is the acceptable time, the day of salvation. This is what this old thing talked about. The demon of delay who whispers later only hopes for the damnation of the soul. Man, the demon of delay. Maybe tomorrow I'll get it right. Tomorrow we'll work on that. Tomorrow, one's nearest to salvation depends upon his willingness to accept and obey God's word. Hear me, the word of the Lord matters. Are you concerned about your soul? Do you want to be eternally saved? Do you wish to follow Jesus? Jesus said, come to me, all you that are labored and heavy, I will give you rest. Folks, amen. It's time to take the step, believe and repent of our sins and make that decision that, God, I want you in my life. It matters to me what matters to you. Quit playing around with your life. Amen. Karis here tonight. Amen. She was almost knocked into eternity. She was very close to eternity. They took in a lifeline at her. And this, how many, you got two boys? How many more you got? Just two, right? That's enough, she said. In a matter of a little bit, this mama, who is an active mama, I mean, I'm telling you, fifth gear all the time, is reduced down to nothing in just a moment of time. And it could have been worse had it not been the grace and the goodness of the Lord. Carrie, you're here tonight because of God's grace and goodness. Amen. I'm thankful that we do. There's many of us that have the same testimony. Where would I be? Where would I be? Where would I be had it not been for the goodness of the Lord? Amen. Those boys got their mama tonight. Amen. And mama has her boys tonight. And we're thankful for the grace and the goodness of the Lord, oh God, the Lord Almighty. Amen. Are you thankful for the grace of God, the goodness of God? Amen. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Somebody, amen, this may be old corn to you. This may be an old message to you, but it's still the message. It's still the truth. Amen. Oh, friend, eternity's too long. Amen. For us to be wrong. It's too real for us to play with it. Let's go to the next one real quick. And I've used this just recently, the pattern of the new covenant. Acts the second chapter, you got to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance is not a suggestion. Repentance was a commandment. Repentance means you die out to sin and self and you connect to Christ's death. Baptism is more than me getting dunked in a tank of water. Baptism is dying out and being buried with Christ, amen, and connecting to Christ's burial. And receive the Holy Ghost is more than me just talking in tongues, but it's connecting to the Almighty God, and a relationship with God is needed. You need to have a death, there must be a burial, and there must be a resurrection. You must repent, you must be baptized, and you got to have the Spirit of God in your life. And that's more than just something that has done in your past. You better have that fire burning in your soul. Amen. It must be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. And the name of the Holy Ghost, somebody say it's Jesus. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen to your pastor today. Amen. It's still the word of God. Don't let it all become just an old thing. Hey, the message of God is still for us today. Amen. The name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife recently was listening to something about the Great Awakening, about people such as Benjamin Franklin, George Whitefield, about the United States of America. The pilgrims came to the United States because they were ready for freedom, but they was ready for an awakening. There was a great awakening that started happening, that people that were in cold, dead religions that said, we can't handle this no more. There's a God that is alive and well. and they began to cry out to God, begin on getting their faces before God. It didn't matter the church sign out front. They began to say, God, where are you? And when people begin to seek God, God began to do great works in their life. Are you thankful that God is still one that can awaken a soul, awaken a life? Amen. God is ready to awaken a people in this hour. Amen. There's people that have fought against the things of God. They fight against everything there is of godliness and righteousness. Our world, those that wants to snuff the fire out, turn the light out. But today is your day to make up your mind. I'm going to live for God. Young lady, hear me tonight. Every young lady, look at your pastor. Amen. You need to make up your mind today to say, Lord, it matters what matters to you. It matters, young man, look at me tonight. Amen. It matters, young man, how you live. Amen. Pick your head up. Look at me. It matters how you live, because, friend, death will not respect you. Praise God. I want to live for Jesus. I want to be for Jesus. Your decision matters. Your decision matters today. Live for God. Be all you could be for Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you could title this tonight, I don't know what we're going to title it, but we're just going to say this tonight. The message is still the message. Amen. The coming of the Lord is still at hand. Amen. You know what? Just because Jesus hadn't come don't mean we stay time out. You know, it's not going to happen. But Jesus is still coming. Be ye ready. He's coming back. My question tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Have you repented of your sin? Have you been down in the watery grave? Have you been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? The next question, if so, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with the Holy Ghost? Is it just something that you feel occasionally? The hardest-headed people of Pentecostals who's been around, they're the type that learn they got to feel it before they move with it. Don't operate off feelings. Amen. Don't worship because I'm waiting to feel something. I didn't feel anything tonight. God should not have worship that is wrapped around feelings. Worship should be because of your faith in God and your appreciation to the King of Kings. Lord, I love you. In spite if I can't feel a drop tonight, I come to worship you. I come to love you, and I come to, when you start worshiping God for who he is, amen, pretty soon you'll start feeling what God is all about. Amen. But he's looking for somebody in this day and hour that will love him for who he is. Stand with me tonight. Amen. The Lord is in this place, and God wants to hold us close. Amen. Hey, we only have a little time to work. We only have a little hour to work. Our time is running out. Amen. We only have this small time. And the same God that impressed these people years ago to preach it, whoever wrote this little book and put it together and took the money and the time. Back at now, we could do it with AI in just a matter of a little bit. But people had to draw it. People had to put it together hours and hours to get a message across because it mattered to them. It wasn't to try to get somebody to join a church, sign a roll, but somebody to connect to the Almighty God. God's looking for somebody to say, Lord, you know, you matter to me. What makes us different? You know what makes a Christian different? It's because we're connected and we still feel the tug in our heart of faith, reverence, and we still have a hope inside of us. Our Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me right now. What about you? What if tonight's your night to make that decision? Would you draw closer to God even than where you've been? Would you let God draw you nearer to him? Would you get those things that you keep letting hold you back out of your way? And would you say yes to the Lord tonight? Can God get a yes from your heart, your life tonight? Amen. Lift your heart with me right now. Somebody lift those hands above your head and say yes to God. I want you, Jesus. This cross might begin to sing. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you.
Without him, I could not.
without him.
Without him, I surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail.
Jesus, you're here. Hallelujah. The grace of God, the undeserving gift of the Lord. What are you doing with the grace of God? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with God has given? You ever seen somebody get a paycheck? They work hard for it and they take care of it. But have you ever seen somebody, people always gave them something, always bailing them out? You gave them something, and after a while they started expecting you to give something to them. Their hand was always out, and they wasted their life, wasted their money. They didn't care. They just thought, you owe it to me. They never had to work for it. It didn't mean anything to them. Don't ever get to the place that the goodness and the grace of God become just a handout. Let it be something that matters to your life. Coley, don't ever get to the place that you just say, oh, well, just always let it have meaning in your life. Abigail, the same way. Let grace always matter to your soul because we still don't deserve it. Amen. One more time. Thank the Lord with me for goodness and grace. Thank you, Jesus.